This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I think that I'm going to have to do a little bit of something here in just a second. Maybe not. Okay, it looks like I'm still recording even though Android is on. So let's just go with this. We're going to give this a try. I ran myself out of battery on my recorder. I saw it last night and then it just zipped out of my mind and I should have put batteries in this morning. I didn't do it. So I'm going to have to do one of those things where I convert this over to an MP3 and blah, 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 blah. But that's okay. We will get that done. It's been an interesting week. Lots of things going on this week. For one thing, the young man that I spent a year getting trained in on how to do stuff and our stuff took another job. So this was his last week. It was like, So we're starting back over with somebody else and I'm not really sure who that is at this point. So, you know, we'll just wait and see. But Jesus will work all this out. He always does. And we'll get it all figured out and go from there. But aside from the fact that we lost one of our good workers, this was his last week. Everything else is puttering along. There's some exciting things going on. And as always, you know, we're given some mandates of things to do, and then we get into it and we discover that it wasn't necessarily thought all the way through, and then we start asking questions and we start trying to get down actually to the design of things. But we'll work that all out. It'll be fine. It'll just be fine. In terms of writing, I am on the epilogue of book 21. I'm a little bit delayed, somewhat because of the events this week have kind of thrown me off a little bit, but I'm hoping to at least rough in the epilogue tonight. If I can get that roughed in tonight, then this weekend I can start my beta read through. I do know what I'm doing for cover. And that should be fine. So that helps. I finally figured out what the nursery rhyme was that went with the book. I'm doing Old King Cole. Old King Cole was a merry old soul, a merry old soul was he. For the nursery rhyme on this book. And I have to see if I could convince my grandson to put on a king's robe and a crown and, actually posed for me. We'll see. There is another book, which was book 8, where he was in a crown and a robe, but I actually composited him into that. So he didn't actually have to do that in real life. So we'll see. And then my granddaughter will probably be in some kind of a jester's costume. But we'll negotiate that as well. So the next probably about 2 to 3 weeks here, I'll be working on putting the beta copy together and then getting in touch with people and asking them to be beta readers, and then we'll get our beta readers together, and then once we kind of get that all under control, I will start book 22, which I think I know where we're going for that, so I have some things to talk about in book 22, and in fact, book 22 has a big revelation in it that I have been waiting for 22 books, to write. It's not a huge, huge revelation, but, you know, it answers a question for one of the characters that I have just been thinking against all this time. So, you know, that'll be interesting to get that question answered finally. And then once book 22 is done, then it's a part 1, part 2, because those are the last 2 books of the particular opus that we're in, and the last two books of the opus are a cliffhanger and resolution. So that's what happened when we were in opus one, which was the conviction opus, and then opus two, which was the revelation opus, and then we're in the nightmare opus at this point. So, you know, step at a time, step at a time, step at a time. Costumes are fine. I have had a little delay because of all the extra little things this week. So I haven't necessarily worked on a costume physically. I've been looking things up on the internet and chasing some things down and blah, blah, blah. But as far as physically work on the costume, I think the last time I physically worked on it was like Sunday night or something like that. Because Monday night had to kind of pack everything up and get everything cleared away. Because this week we did something new and kind of special. This was Dustin's last week in training for an EMT, we hope. And he is doing what's called boarding tomorrow. And that's when they do the final tests. We fully expect that he's going to do just fine with that. But it's a matter of, that's something that he just needs to walk through. And then he'll be full-time on the track, which there was a little bit of a curveball that got thrown to him. Because last year, Springfield Public Schools would actually send a bus around that when his son, his autistic son, was out of school at like Pleasant View, what they would do is they'd send a bus, they would pick up his son, they would take his son back to Cox Daycare, you know, so they, his son this last year would start out at Cox Daycare, they would send a bus, pick him up, take him over to what's called the Mallory Center. He would have some time there, and then when that was done, they'd take him back to Cox Daycare, and I mean, they just took care of it all. Apparently, this year, they don't have as much funding, and so they just said, we're not doing that. So, so that threw a kind of a kink in everything. So it's because as soon as school starts up, then the daycare won't take him all day. So we were scrambling around looking for a solution. We found out that there is a preschool program and a after-school program. Before-school program, I guess it's called, and an after-school program. And so based on that, which is actually cheaper than daycare, we had him taken care of from 6:30 to 6 p.m., which was fine, except Dustin was finishing up some of his stuff, and like on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, he had to be in Republic at 7 o'clock, which is just a little tight from our house to drop Aiden off at 6:30 and then have to be at Republic at 7. So he brought Aiden down on Tuesday, and on Thursday, I got up a little early, and, you know, we went ahead and popped Aiden in my car, and then he left, and then by the time I got over to the school, it was almost time. I got him turned in, and so I'm going to be home here in just a few minutes. I'm going to try to get the podcast uploaded, and then I'm going to go back to Pleasant View, pick Aiden up from there, bring him back to my house. Dustin's not going to be done until 7 p.m., and it's like 5 p.m. now, so I'll have him back at my house probably just a little after 6:45, and then Dustin will be back at my house at like 7:45, so we'll put on some TV and get Aiden a snack if he wants, and yada, yada, yada. So that's a little extra that we've had going, and Aiden is a little boy who needs to be watched, and so, you know, that takes an extra 2 hours out of the program, and so that kind of shifts everything, but, you know, it's fine. I think moving forward, Dustin is actually going to have a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. shift, which I think that means that he's going to drop off Aiden at my house like at 5:15 in the morning. I'm going to get him to school, and then I'll just do the rest of my regular stuff, and then in the evenings I'll pick him up at like 5:45, and Dustin will be over to pick him up no later than 6:30. So it's not really that much time, and it's cheaper for Dustin to have him in the before school and after school program, especially since that there is no transportation from the school to the daycare. But we'll work all this out, you know, it's just gonna be fine. We'll get it worked out, because God is good and he's kind and he helps us, and we're gonna get it done. So there was a little extra there. This has been a really fascinating week. This has been such a fascinating week. With the Democratic National Convention on, and it's going to be so interesting to see how all this gets worked out. It's just, I have notes on Robert Malone's discussion on Cywars, but it's just so fascinating. So, of course, they started up and they paraded all the people. The first thing that happened is Biden was supposed to have like a primetime speech, and then other speakers, something happened where he got bounced back to like midnight. So this poor guy, not only did he get kicked out, literally kicked out as a candidate, not only did that happen, you know, but then this was supposed to be his moment in the sun before they put him out to pasture, and then they put him on like at midnight, you know, and so he's got to do his thing where he's got to rah-rah and the stuff. And amazingly enough, CNN was fact-checking Biden's speech, which was really interesting. You know, and this is after they let Kamala Harris, I don't know which it is. This was after they let her announce that she wanted to do price gauging, which of course is not price gauging, it's price gouging, but that's okay. You know, which was a really interesting choice, because she didn't have to do that because she was running into the convention. But for some reason, they let her do that. They let her pick Tim Walz, who, you know, is an avowed socialist. And it's really interesting to watch this thing. And then, of course, you know, the Obamas are on the next night, and they're having the big rah-rah speeches, and Michelle is speaking, which normally it's $750 million for Michelle to speak. But she came to the Democratic National Conventions, which kind of makes you go, I wonder what's going on there. And, of course, you know, had to talk about Donald Trump, and had to talk about the people with bigger shares of the pie need to share with people that have smaller shares of the pie, you know. And then, of course, I heard one report, I don't know if this is true, Michelle Obama and her hubby are, like, worth $70 million. Holy cow! And they have all these houses. But I don't know that they were necessarily saying that they were going to make their pie any smaller. So that's all fascinating, you know, to hear all these speeches. They got Oprah to come out and say how terrible Donald Trump was. This is so fascinating. It's so interesting to watch all this stuff happening. And then one of the commentators, who's an African-American gentleman, and I'm just not familiar with all the commentators, he said something that was just fascinating. He was complaining because the poll numbers were so close. You know, Kamala Harris had gotten a bump, but now that's kind of tightening up. And he was complaining about the fact that the poll numbers were close. And he was saying, why are they so close? Kamala Harris has had the best launch of any, you know, any Democrat ever in presidential history. How can the poll numbers be so close? And it's really interesting because there was, I had to check to see where we were on time. There was an overarching feeling in that all we had to do was promote someone. All we had to do was give her good press, and then she should just be able to smoke all the competition. And what that seems to tell me is that they really think that everyone is just going to do whatever they tell them to do. And he was stunned that people had been told what to do and told how they were supposed to feel and told who they were supposed to be for. Sorry, I'm packing some things up. And yet somehow Donald Trump was still running neck and neck. So apparently they're really convinced that all they have to do is just promote somebody, and it really doesn't matter whether they're qualified. You know, it doesn't matter what their past record has looked like. It doesn't matter who the running mate is. It doesn't matter the word salads that they put out. It doesn't matter all the radical positions that they have absolutely proclaimed that they are for, like Medicare for all and open borders and all that sort of. It just doesn't matter because we've promoted her. So yeah, this is going to be so interesting to watch. I still stand by my statement that I do not believe that the deep state is going to let Donald Trump get elected. They let that get by once. I don't think they're going to do it again. Now, the other thing that's happening this week, apparently, it's not happening until tomorrow, is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is dropping out of the race and will supposedly endorse Trump because he doesn't want Kamala Harris to be president. He doesn't want the Democrats to win this. This is a guy who was a Democrat. But the Democratic Party has been so ugly to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, his vice president was talking about how they filed lawsuits against us and they've changed rules and they've slandered us and sent people into our campaigns to try to disrupt our campaign and even sent people into our campaigns to work from the inside and produce results that would be slanderous to us. I mean, it's just, you talk about banana republic stuff. There's just, and they were like, the Republicans have been fine with us, you know, but the Democrats have just come down like a hammer on us, you know, and so all of this is in the mix. And it's really going to be interesting to see, you know, honestly, if this country, if the majority of the people plus the, you know, margin of fraud actually vote to put Kamala Harris in, frankly, we deserve exactly what we're going to get. Because if we have so lost our way in this country that we really think that the presidency of the United States should have really no meritorious requirements at all, but we should just vote in whoever hasn't been president yet. So just the fact she's a woman of color, that's it. We should put her in. Yeah, we deserve exactly what we're going to get. And we'll see. And on the other hand, if people don't actually believe that, and the polls turn and we have this, and then the deep state doesn't let or assassinates Donald Trump or something like that. Holy cow, this is going to turn interesting. So yeah, lots of stuff going on. Really interesting stuff. But at this point, the base assumptions are, A, that there is a deep state that is actually running the country, that deep state has managed to keep a doddering old senile man in power for 4 years, and that they fully expect to put someone else in power that's just going to be a figurehead and sit there, and they're going to keep doing all the things they've been doing, like open borders and getting us in wars and spending so much that the inflation rates are up and doing everything they can to stop the production of fossil fuels. I mean, this whole... It's so fascinating. It's especially so fascinating that a person for president who is in the party that is mostly in power at this point can stand up and say, if I'm elected president, we're really going to do something for families that are having to pay too much at the store. We're going to do this. And it's like, you're in power right now. Whatever. Holy cow. And some people don't even think about that. Yeah, it's fascinating. It is really fascinating. But the good thing in all of this is Jesus is with us. And all is well. And whatever is coming. And we'll just see how this all goes. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.